Episode 270, we are joined by a fan favorite and former Nebraska Cornhusker, Jeremiah Searles. He played offensive line for the Suckers, and he joins us now as part of the Husker Radio Network to help break down this game, the season, and have a great little time on the Washed Up Walk-Ons. You guys know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 270 of the podcast, but more importantly, everybody's favorite week of the entire year. I do believe I speak for everyone in this podcast when I say that this is the most fun week to be a member of the Wash Up Walk-Ons army, and this particular podcast and group of three men, because we get to gang up against one of our good friends who happens to be, I would call him the enemy, but they are at this point so battered. They're so dejected in this whole quote-unquote rivalry thing that their superintendent or whoever said that, you know, wasn't really a rivalry until we showed ourselves to be worthy of it. I don't know how many in a row it is, 5, 6. We stuffed it in your ass. You guys, 3 wins, won't see a bowl game. Everybody said Scott Frost and Adrian Martinez were the savior. They got you 3 wins. It's going to stay 3 wins.
You can cut them off any time, Jeremiah.
It's good to see you too, Drake. You know, I missed your wonderful commentary. I can't wait yearly to just sit here and take my lashings as a Husker fan.
Woo! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm fucking happy to be here, booze.
Which we can't always say about you, Drake.
That's fair. Drake's still one of my favorite follows on Instagram because it's just unbelievable the things that he posts. It's just unfathomable at times, but yet so entertaining.
It's funny because Searles, that visceral reaction from you is, it's just Drake just milking the social media teat. I mean, it's exactly what he wants, and
everyone needs a villain. Every great story needs a villain, and Drake fills that role just oh so perfectly for so many people.
I love it, dude. This podcast is off to a hot start, baby. This is rivalry week, and this is how rivalry week is supposed to start.
Well, first of all, Jeremiah, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being here. Yeah,
Drake said. Hey, I always look forward to this one.
Yeah, you're a good sport. Our fans, our listeners, which has evolved into the Walk-On Army since the last time you've been here, there's been some developments over in this part of this neck of the woods, right? They're big fans of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's probably because you're the one who made them realize there was literate Huskers and people who had real logical ideas.
I mean, as our buddy Ike always likes to tell me, Nebraska is the most inbred state of all time. So I'm glad that I could try and change the norm for some of you Iowans over there.
Now, you are from Colorado, right?
I am. I am originally from Colorado, which helps the cause a little bit, except for that place is Looney Tunes now anyways.
Would you consider yourself a Nebraskan or a Coloradan?
I'm a Nebraskan. I'm a Nebraskan. I got permanent residence here. I just bought my lifetime hunt here. So this is home for me.
Okay. Because Kevin considers himself an Iowan, I think, now.
I'm an Iowan now, yeah. I grew up in Illinois. Yeah. Spent the first 18 years of my life. But
I'd tell Illinois to kick rocks, too. So
yeah, that place is going downhill.
Well, it's got Brett Burt Bielema now. Which you guys started off the year with.
Yeah, and kicked our teeth in. It was awesome. Really fun time to head up to Illinois, and everyone was a lot of hope for the season, and we ended up losing to, I can't even remember what that freaking dude's backup quarterback came in and went like 15-17 for us, couldn't miss.
Stokowski.
Yeah, Stokowski comes in, just Peyton Manning that thing, and then he plays the next 4 weeks and can't even hit the broadside of a barn, and I was like, this is awesome. Why not?
Oh, I got a question. So Frost and the coaching staff caught a lot of flack for his post game media comments, where he's mentioned, like, you know, we threw out like half the playbook when they lined up the way they did. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if he's referring to their defense or their offense.
Offense.
What was the reaction like in the Nebraska fan world hearing those comments?
Well, so you all played. Yeah. Y'all know football well enough to know that, hey, first games of the year are always kind of coin flips what you're going to get, especially with new coaches, new whatever. Right. And so for me, when I heard that, I was like, did you not think that this was going to happen? Like, did you not just have plays that you could just line up and it doesn't matter if they're in 4-3, 3-4, 5-2, 6, whatever, like just run your track and someone shows up? And apparently we didn't. I mean, we run a lot of we did at the beginning of the year, ran a lot of man zone or man schemed run plays. So young offensive line, new guys starting, I guess it was just too much for them on the sideline, first road start. And the thing too is you guys kind of ran into it a little bit at the beginning of the year too, is those young guys that played last year, it didn't really count. Like, you weren't playing in full stadiums. You weren't playing in front of people. Like, it was glorified practices, right? And so us having to go on the road, again, I'm making excuses because I'm all out of logic for Nebraska at this point. Us going on the road at the beginning of the year wasn't very helpful for a lot of our young guys, and we got punched right in the face. And no. so those comments didn't go over well with Husker Nation. And I have also evolved since the last time we talked. I'm actually the sideline reporter for the Huskers Radio Network. So I'm actually an independent contractor, but I'm kind of employed by the Huskers. And I'm lucky enough that I get to do the immediate reaction right after the games. So like, game ends and I go directly on the radio, and then I listen to Scott's press conference and then immediately have to react to that. And I didn't handle that one great. I was still learning. But I didn't handle that one probably the best way that I should have.
did your employer is like, hey, you work for us now? Try to
you know, you can only spin things so many times before you get really dizzy. So I've been in a constant state of dizzy since week zero of Illinois.
This is fun because you have evolved, and I wanted to talk about that too. The last time we talked to you, I believe, was this week last year. Mm-hmm. At that time, are you still doing your own podcast?
No, I'm not. So they brought me away from that so that I would do all my stuff for them. So okay. I do a few things for them. I do a podcast called Sideline Scoop with Searles, which we kind of preview the week. That comes out Friday morning.
Tell me the logo of that podcast is an ice cream scoop.
We're trying to get an ice cream store here in town to sponsor it. Yeah, we're trying to get an ice cream store to sponsor it, but you know, not a lot of people are shelling out money to a 3-9 team at the moment.
It's true.
So I got that going.
I like how you said 3-9 because they've already
3-8, 3-8. I haven't sold out.
They've seceded to the union.
Easy there. I do another piece called Tale of the Tape where I break down stuff every week. I actually just watching your guys' game against Illinois before this now to pick out some plays to kind of break down and see what you guys do.
How exploitable do you think our offensive line is, truthfully?
Besides Linderbaum, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, you lose Linderbaum next year to the NFL, and you better have some stallion in the waiting because these other four Yahoos are not very good.
Young guys, man, young guys,
like young you guys, said, but
and a couple walk-ons.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not used to looking at an Iowa offensive line and be like, that dude looks like he's 290 pounds.
They're smaller.
Yeah,
like they're just not what I'm used to seeing on the big meat man up front.
You're also looking at arguably their best game they played all year.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'm going to throw some of you guys. You guys know you're the most fraudulent number two team in the country, right?
Well, we're not number two anymore.
When you were the number two team in the country, you were the most fraudulent to ever be number two of all time.
Well, man, we were saying on this podcast quite heavily that we had to do something about our offense or this was not going to be sustainable. Like we said it, but the offensive line just couldn't grow fast enough. It just wasn't possible.
In fact, they went backwards. They got hurt and they started playing worse when that happened. What you've seen, Searles, is, you know, in our tackles aren't actually like too small. One of them is out right now too. He's a redshirt freshman and he will be, I think, satisfactory next year. We have some guards that have gotten their shit pushed in quite often. And Karloftis, it didn't matter who we put out there. We could have put two tackles at both positions and say, hey, we get seven offensive linemen instead of five, and he still would have ate their lunch. So there's some this offseason. As for probably Nebraska as well, there's always position groups on a team that really, really need that preparatory period in spring and another fall camp. Our line really needs it. And hopefully, and we can get into this too, but hopefully if they get it and they become just an average to maybe above average offensive line next year, we really bring back like a lot of skill. So yeah, but you're right. The number two rating was very inflated. It was
after we beat Penn State. Did we have the number two resume in the country? Yeah. You can make that argument. Were we the second best team in the country? No. And that's where we are at today.
And that's fair.
And 6 weeks in, a lot of our resume, one third of it was based off of these preseason expectations on Indiana and Iowa State.
Being good. Indiana's
dude, what can we talk about what the hell happened up there? Like, dude, talk about a guy that I was saying back the dump truck up to Tom Allen to bring him to Nebraska. Like what he did up there in 2020 was nothing short of spectacular. And then this year they've just completely quit on that guy.
Well, like, they got absolutely shredded with injuries this year.
Oh, but still, dude, like the effort has just been abysmal anytime I've watched Indiana play.
I think it has something to do with, like, you know, expectations versus reality. And when you're, you know, start off the year thinking you're going to compete in the Big Ten East, and then, you know, you're seven games in and you're 2-5, and it's just like, well, fuck this. You know?
And I don't think they have the players or the culture established yet, right? You can't build that in just one good year. True. And so they don't have the players to sort of buck up in the middle of the season and say, you know, put the foot down and say, hey, enough is enough. We're going to win a couple of these games. I mean, Jeremiah, they got beat 35-3 by Rutgers.
Oh, by Noah Vedrils, man. The old backup quarterback from Nebraska that went up there and was just balling.
Yeah. They literally ran into a buzzsaw of, I think they legit thought they could go 10-2. They're going to be 2-10.
Mm-hmm. They also had like the hardest schedule.
And they had their schedule ended up being just a burner. Iowa State and Indiana, again, back to that, just so we can close up that fraudulent number two argument. I mean, Iowa State was going to potentially...
Those two guys end up being frauds too.
Yeah, yep. They were going to compete. They were going to have their best season, potentially have a chance at the playoff, right? I think there were some talking heads that even picked them to make the Final Four.
Yep.
Do you got to be to pick Iowa State to make a Final Four?
I watched them play Northern Iowa week one, and I was like, this team sucks. Like, I watched them play Northern Iowa. I was like, dude, Northern Iowa should have beat them. Like, they legitimately should have beat them. I was like, this team has no shot.
Northern Iowa actually frequently beats them.
Yeah.
At this point in the season, before the season started, people thought between those two teams, hey, they might be 16-17-5, right?
Right.
And now they sit, I believe, 8-17, 8-17. I don't even know.
I mean, our best win now is a 6-4 Penn State team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we quickly dropped and David Bell holding
you
on.
Guys,
to his...
Do you guys not have a corner that can play man coverage? You guys just live in zone coverage. It's pretty unbelievable how play man coverage.
We have as many man corners as Coover has jokes ready.
Okay. It's incredible.
David Bell is a special, special cat.
I mean, we only held him to 67 yards, but that's fine.
All right. Well, then who else did all the scoring?
Yeah. Then how did you lose? Did you guys give up?
Because we let some Yahoo quarterback, I think O'Connell's name, whatever, complete 44 passes. We just died of such a slow death that day. It was brutal to watch, dude. It was brutal. I will say I like the Nebraska defensive line matchup versus your offensive line. I mean, if you've watched Nebraska's defense at all the last few years, this entire year, like, our defensive line is the strength of our team. I mean, they held Wisconsin down pretty well. They held Ohio State to half of what they run. I mean, without Eric Chenander, our D corner, and our defensive line, I don't know if Scott Frost has one more year. That's just being very truthful. And so as I'm watching the tape and studying up on you guys for all my pregame shit tomorrow, like, I'm watching that matchup and I give the nod to the Nebraska defensive line, but I flip on the other side of the tape.
Every defensive line has had the nod against our offensive line this year, truthfully.
Yeah. I mean, would you agree with me that there's more elite pass rushers in the Big Ten right now than there's ever been?
There's a lot.
I mean, you go
some dudes out there.
You go Aiden Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. You got George Karlaftis. I mean, Obey Mafi from Minnesota is not terrible. He's serviceable. You got Harrison out of Ohio State. I mean, those four guys will all be first, second rounders one day.
Yeah, yep. There's some dudes out
there. I mean, you talk about, and then you talk about four of those being in the Big Ten. I mean, that's pretty impressive this year. It seems the Big Ten's getting better and better talent-wise each and every year.
I'm pretty sure in 2017 when we beat Ohio State, they had three first rounders on their defensive line that night.
Yeah, but you also had a first rounder at right tackle, which really helps kind of eliminate that problem.
Doesn't hurt
when you have Tristan Wirfs out there just baptizing kids left and right.
Let's talk about him real quick, as you are a former offensive lineman in the NFL. What is your assessment of him now in his second year at right tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Dude, he's the definition of consistent. I mean, you talk about a guy incredible the way he, I mean, I remember watching him live when he came here in, what was his senior year? 19 was his senior year?
That was his last year, yeah.
Yeah, his last year here. I remember watching him in person when you guys came to Nebraska, and I was like, dude, that dude's special. Like, just the way he moves and how big he is and how powerful he is. I mean, Tampa Bay got an absolute steal in taking him. I mean,
fourth tackle off the board.
Mind blowing, dude. When he was when he was still there, I was like, someone's going to get this dude and have themselves like one of the best right tackles in the league for a long time. And of course,
Tom Brady got him, right?
Right. Of course.
When you look at it, like, and they had a lot of puzzle pieces to make that happen, but Wirfs is a massive part of them going on a Super Bowl run last year.
100%.
He had a Pro Bowl, a legitimate Pro Bowl rookie year.
Yeah.
And he has Tom Brady as quarterback in one of the best starting five receiving core weapon cores of all time.
Yeah. And let's not forget Leonard Fournette back there running the rock.
That was part of the five. Yeah.
Playoff Lenny, baby.
Playoff Lenny, man. Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, I think he's probably one of the better offensive linemen since Brandon Scherff to come out of there in Iowa. I mean, and that's for me when I circling back to your offensive line, like that's what I'm used to seeing, right? And I see the Brandon Scherffs and the Linderbaums and who was the guy you had Jackson last year? I mean, I don't think he got drafted, but I mean,
he's Larry Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is he still with the Rams? I mean, like I'm used to seeing that, and it's, I don't know if you guys know why, but like, where was the developmental drop off?
Yeah, we talked
about it. We missed in recruiting.
We spent we spent two whole episodes on it. It really came down to Tristan would have been part of this senior class.
Yep.
So he's winning Super Bowls. Linderbaum is our other one that was sort of like your dead on hit. We lost a guy to retirement or, whatever. He quit playing and decided not to play football anymore. And he would have been arguably our second best guy after Linderbaum. And he was good. He was a tackle. And then we just sort of,
some guys just kind of fizzled out of the program when they'd be like senior, junior guys right now. It's just a young room. Yeah. Two veteran guys, really, one of which is a walk-on.
Who's been hurt.
And then you got young guys who are, one, you know how hard it is to come in and play as a young offensive lineman. We had this discussion on the podcast. It's probably the hardest position to move
from 100%. High
school off to college. And they need to be more physically developed, too. They need more off seasons in the weight room.
Simple as that.
Yeah, very simple. Nailed it.
And then when you look at the product, you're like, okay, well, next year and the year and really 2023 might be real exciting when you go down that whole recruiting rabbit hole and what we still may have. It just doesn't help us now. And I'm sure
you can also add on, we got a first year offensive line coach too.
That's true.
That is true.
Now, with this information on our offensive line woes, your film study and our knowledge of Nebraska's eternity long woes, is this under a lock
for what you guys winning?
No, the under. The
under.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean,
locking in for the under.
What is it?
I would lock that in. I mean, you think about it. We have a quarterback who's taken, I think, a total of like 19 snaps or something stupid like that. He's throwing the ball like four times. And the one time he did run the ball against Buffalo, he fumbled. And I mean, Nebraska fans have been calling for Logan Smothers to come play forever now. And there's a part of me that's like, you guys are going to see why he wasn't playing. Like,
wait a second. They've been asking for him over it. That shouldn't surprise me. Because the
second, does it surprise you? I mean, it's Nebraska fans. It's always the next shiny thing.
It ain't Nebraska. Everyone thinks the backup quarterback
always.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what team, unless you're, I would love to find a team that's just like, no, I don't think we shouldn't even entertain the idea of a second guy.
Shit, look at Oklahoma. They had a Heisman candidate, Spencer Rattler, and they're booing this man.
It's never good
booing
enough.
Booing this man. It's never good enough. And I mean, hate him, love him. Adrian Martinez, like, he made this offense go.
100%.
The shit he could create and the way that he would run around. And yeah, he wasn't the most accurate, but like, he was able to create things out of nothing. And I just, with not knowing anything about Logan Smothers, who's going to be starting on Friday, yeah, I would lock that under in pretty quickly.
And Adrian's a guy, when he's in the game, you're actually worried about plays being extended, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit about what we've gone through with our quarterback situation with Petrus. Adrian has mobility and he will run. And it's funny, we go back to that Illinois game. My wife, Searles, I probably mentioned this before, is a Husker fan.
Yep.
So I catch a lot of the games. I probably watch, unfortunately, more Husker football after Iowa than any other team in the Big Ten. And we watched that first Illinois game. And I said, oh my God, you're not going to have a quarterback, this quarterback, by the end of the year, if this is how they intend to use him. What do you know? He's got a broken jaw. There's probably not a part on Adrian's body that doesn't hurt right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just because they rely on him so heavily to do everything. And I am shocked that he made it all the way until this week without being, this is the first week he's been out, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's wild to me.
And I hate it for the rivalry's sake. And I know I say that. I mean, again, I'm not saying that with Adrian, we would have beat you guys, but I do think it would have been a game. I mean, we've been
you guys
in almost
like 4-point favorites, dude.
I know. And I
Vegas
think people
thought you guys were going to beat us like easy.
I mean, I think they're looking. I mean, if the Wisconsin game, we had our best offensive game plan of the entire year.
Without
four assistants. You know, I mean, we fired four assistants 2 weeks ago.
And I asked our Discord chat what they wanted us to ask you, and they're like, "What in the hell? Who fires their assistants? Like, who made that decision? Like, how does Frost survive firing all four of those during the season? Like, how do you bring him back?" Answer. Speak for this.
Yeah,
we had this discussion. Who the hell backfilled those spots?
So what happened was, and this is what Trev Alberts came on our Sports Nightly and laid it all out. He said Scott came to him after the Purdue game and was like, listen, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to take $1 million pay cut next year. I'm willing to cut my buyout in half for 2022 or for 2023 if this doesn't work. Here's my changes that I'm making to my staff. Here's my plan, and here's what I want to do. And I think that since we had that extra bye week, because we had two bye weeks since we played week zero, the last thing Frost wanted to do was send dead man walking out on the recruiting trail. And because everyone was going recruiting that week. And so I think he knew, he had told Trev, hey, I'm letting go of the quarterback's coach, the running back's coach, the offensive coordinator, and the offensive line coach. And he just felt best to, hey, cut ties now, right? And send coaches that he knows are going to be there next year to these recruits. But also, I think the bigger thing was he wanted to make sure he solidified the fact that he was going to be there next year.
Oh,
when you're talking to recruits, like, you want to solidify that the head coach will be there for the next season. I've never seen anything like it before, Clue. I've never been a part of something like this. I've never seen it. And I mean, you have grad assistants. We have Ron Brown, who played back in a long time here. He coached when I was here. He took over the running backs room. I mean, Scott's basically calling everything now, right? I mean, everything's on him. But for me, I watched that Wisconsin game and I'm like, okay, so who was the one screwing the whole thing up all year? Like, right? Like, you watch that. I mean, Wisconsin's defense is number one or two in every statistical category in the country.
Correct.
And we carved them up and down the field.
Yeah, I needed you to carve him up one more fucking time, my guy.
Well, if our tackle doesn't hold Jack Sanborn run around the edge, around the neck, we probably do.
Well, and let's be honest, that ref, all those refs swallowing their whistle is the biggest pussy move I've ever seen.
On the last play of the game. I mean, again, everyone's like, oh, Nebraska fans, excuse us. Like, dude, that's PI. Like, I don't know. That's the letter of the law. The dude hit him before the ball got there. And I get it. You're on the road, fourth in game. You probably don't get that call, but come on now. Like, that's pretty blatant. You got to call that.
And who knows if they go on to win it, that would have tied it. Here's what I was hoping. Nothing to lose. I thought, hey, they're going to score here. Scotty Frost, let's go for two.
He said it in his press conference. He said it in the press conference after the game. Like, I told the team, if we score, we're going for two.
God, I wanted to see that so bad. Oh, I was actually so similar to you. I'm not actually affiliated. Maybe someday, maybe not. I don't know if I want the restriction. I do a post-game radio show, two-hour call-in show that is from a Cedar Rapids station. And so I was at the bar that we do that at live. And we were watching the end of that game right before we went on. Man, I needed it to happen so bad. So you guys have now passed off the responsibility of getting us into the Big Ten Championship to the Gophers this week. And
which I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw.
No.
Absolutely not. I don't know. You guys are probably equally as happy as me, but watching him sign a 7-year extension and then getting beat by Illinois was probably one of my favorite moments of the Big Ten this year.
It's right up there with Mel Tucker signing a $100 million deal and getting beat by 49.
Like, how quickly after he signed that paper did he get beat by 100?
I mean, it had to be within a 12-hour period. I mean, you got to think he probably signed that. I heard a story. So someone was telling me a story around Nebraska. So his nickname is Midnight Mel. And the reason they call him that is because he was at Boulder and he was like at 9 p.m. He was like meeting with all the boosters, like, I'm a Boulder. I'm a Buff. I'm here. I'm staying. Midnight that night on a plane to East Lansing, signed with East Lansing the very next day. So we refer to him as Midnight Mel around here because the dude just bounces whenever he can see the opportunity.
Well, I just think it's hilarious. One, that story. And two, this is his third season as a head coach, and he's got like a barely above 500 record. I mean, no idea how you justify a $100 million deal.
He hit on every transfer. That never happens, dude. Yeah. You never bring transfer portals out the ass into the program and hit on every single one. And he did.
Like, yeah, it's like he walked into the casino, went over to the craps table, threw snake eyes, took it all, put it over to the roulette table, put it on whatever number you want, hits it, and he walks out the door.
Yeah, I mean, they're not – Kenneth Walker's gone. Peyton Thorne's gone. Like, Michigan State's not going to be relevant, in my opinion, for the next 3-4 years.
Are we going to have a situation in a couple of years where Midnight Mel is going to the staff over there like, hey, and he sees the writing on the wall? Because here's what's interesting about the Scott Frost move is he knew that the pitchforks were coming for him. And so he had to be at his house in Lincoln or wherever he lives, just sitting there thinking, God, what can I do to just get one more year? Like, I just like what, and this is the like big Midnight Mel's going to have to come up with that plan in a couple years because they're going to, I mean, he don't care. His bank account's so fat now. It doesn't even matter. Midnight could retire forever and he'd be just fine.
But I will say in Scott's defense, I mean, all of us are competitors. All of us have had at one point in time to bet on ourselves. And so I respect the move a little bit as far as, hey, yeah, he essentially left $8 million on the table.
It's a plan.
What was his alternative? Was to like kind of roll over and die, right?
Well, the alternative was fire me and give me my buyout.
Right.
I mean, he easily could have been like, all right, you want me out of here? Cool. Pay me my cool $20 million and I'm out.
That's true. So tell me if I'm wrong. From the outside here, it looks like if 2022, the Huskers don't see a bowl game, then that's it. Is that the line?
I don't know. Whatever Trev and him had the conversation. I mean, there's absolutely an asterisk that him and Trev have talked of, like, you need to reach X amount of wins, right?
It's interesting because it's so out there publicly, right? Like the fact that Alberts came onto that show and said that, even told people that that's what Scott came and did. Like, it's so upfront and everything is like, hey, this is just, it's black and white. I would love to know what their baseline of.
I'm saying, I think seven wins. I think seven wins is, I honestly do. I mean, so we get to play your guys' schedule next year.
Right.
I mean, it flips, right? You guys now get to play the big boys again, and we get to kind of play the Indianas and all those fun Maryland and all those fun schools. And so I think that looking at next year's schedule, what are you giggling down there for, Kevin?
I don't know. It's just the fact that you caught Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers, the fun schools.
They're the fun schools. You get away from the Ohio States and all those freaking big boys,
hey,
right?
Do you realize you're the fun school now?
I understand that, okay? Let me have my moment.
But practice dummies?
God, I know, dude. That's where we
so
are.
You really think that if they go 6-6 and make a bowl game?
But listen to this. How do you possibly, as a recruit, commit to a team whose coach has walked to the edge of the plank with the gun barrel on his forehead? And he's like, listen, man, it's my last step.
Dude, that's what Scott did. He basically walked to the edge of the plank and he turned around and he said, hey, but wait a second. Let me stay on the boat and then I'll let you kill these four guys. That's what happened.
You're not wrong. And I mean, dude, it's my job to sell hope. Husker fans are built on hope. And
there's no more hope this year. You guys got three wins. You can't magically make
here's
six
the thing.
By beating us.
We magically beat you guys in some God-given gift. All is forgiven. Like, that's essentially what this game has come down to. For this year, if this year, with all the shit that's gone on, we somehow find a way to come out there and line up and run triple option the entire game because God knows our quarterback can't throw it. And we're just find some way to be able to pick your guy off twice or something stupid and find a way to beat you guys by 1 point. All will be forgiven. Momentum will be built. And for the next 9 months, I'll be sitting here talking about how we're going to be really good next year because that's how Husker media works.
Wouldn't you love that?
I would love everything about it. You all three would get FaceTimes from me right away on the 50-yard line most likely. And I'd be doing this one right here, just blowing kisses.
The Hawks by a Million media network is a lot more lenient, man. I think we have more fun around here than with our content than, we're
absolutely
gonna be good.
Dude,
got three wins.
Hey, we have to hold on to something around here, dude. Like, I don't know how it is in Iowa City, but like the state of Husker football affects the mood of this entire freaking state. Like, no. I mean, like dogs get kicked. Wives yell that, like, it's just the way it is around here.
Yo, how many drunk rednecks with 70 to 90 IQ and way too much beer in their gut are beating the shit out of their wives?
Okay.
Nebraska can't get the ball across the goal line.
Here we go.
So you know that little call-in show you do there, Tyler?
Yeah.
We have one here. It's called Big Red Reaction. They wanted me to do it. And I was like, you can't pay me enough money to do that
big
show.
Redneck reaction.
It's like, no, dude, the drunk, especially night games.
Yep.
Oh, dude, people call in that are just irate.
And what language are they speaking?
About 12 Bush Light deep language, dude.
Louisiana, yeah.
Now, does anyone ever call into those shows with something positive to say? I can't imagine.
You know what? I mean, they did after Northwestern, Buffalo, and Fordham. So, I mean, that's a plus.
They, on ours, obviously, there's been a little bit more happier times. And it is, this year, it's been very lukewarm, almost 100% of the comments. And it's kind of odd. It's because it's very hard to be mad at 9-2, but there's,
there's like obvious holes in
right.
our team. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's about the least pretty 9-2 you ever see.
Now, what do you guys think about this? We get Searles to quit the Husker radio network, and we hire him on as the first affiliate of
affiliate podcast.
Yeah, and they can't use Huskers by a Million. It has to be Corn Huskers by a Million because we already own HBAM. But what about CBAM?
Well, just Skurs by a Million.
Skurs by a Million. And we just start branching out and turning this thing into an empire.
I'm down. You take the cuffs off me a little bit. That'd be nice.
No cuffs, Google, right?
Where are we getting this cash at, guys?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I need Searles to sign, write the number on a piece of paper and slide it into the chat.
and just tell me, you know,
use
what
the chat function on the Zoom.
Yeah. No, I that has been a thought of mine with what we've done here. It also seems so homegrown that I don't want to let anybody else in on it.
I do. I mean, I think this is my third year doing this now. Is this the third year? I mean, to watch you guys grow has been fun. I mean, I follow you guys on all social medias. I listen to the podcast every now and then when you have a guest that I want to listen to on it. And I mean, to watch what you guys have done is exactly organic how you want to grow a podcast. I mean, it's the exact right way. I mean, kudos to the three of you guys for kind of sticking it out and the whole bit. And I mean, everyone wants to have a podcast now, right? Like every Tom, Dick and Harry thinks, oh, I'll just start a podcast and it'll be great. And then they don't. But I mean, kudos to you guys in that front. Like, you guys have done it the right way. And it's been really fun to watch too.
Nah, it's been fun, man. Appreciate that. So
one of these years we'll beat you guys. And when we do, I'm going to be sitting here with freaking bells on.
Hey, this might be your best chance here. Coming up in a couple of days, you know, Vegas had you as like a 3.5-4 point favorite.
It was four points, dude. Yeah.
Tell me that's not the first time in football history has to be that a team that was 9-2 goes into a game as a 4 point underdog to a 3-win team. That can't have ever
happened. Dude, all of us in the media were like, shit. We were like, why did they do that? Like, we didn't need Iowa to be any more juiced up than they needed to be.
I kind of liked it. I did.
I know you did.
Loved it. All the Iowa fans were like, loved it.
100%. All of us that were, I was sitting there with Greg Sharp, who does the voice of the Huskers. We looked at each other like, fuck, really? Like, that's not what we needed to happen. Whether we think it's true or not, like, the last thing we need is a juiced up Iowa to come in here even more than it is with the rivalry. Because, dude, we're beat up. Like, everyone is at this time of year. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. I don't know if our starting nose guard's going to play. We lose our starting outside linebacker, gets a concussion against Wisconsin. Like, JoJo Doman had to get surgery on his hand. So
I was going
to
say a huge loss was Doman. He was
– huge loss.
I loved watching that guy play. Great football player.
Yeah, and phenomenal play. I mean, and so it's just one of the – we're already down to safety. And so, like, when they favored us, I was like, I don't know what they know that we don't know. Like, everyone in
I think they just look at the stats and see that you guys get about 160 more yards a game than we do.
Yeah, and we score, like, 14 points. We get in the red zone. It just completely goes off the rails.
Sure. So
we've had that problem many, many weeks as well.
As ugly as our 9-2 looks, you guys got a pretty decent-looking –
It's a sexy 3-8.
Oh, Will Compton would say.
I'll jump on the Will Compton. I'll jump on the Will Compton, man. We're the best 3-9 football team. 3-8 football team.
3-9 again.
Oopsies. Keep saying 3-9. Dog.
Just accepted you must it. Not.
Hey, in our Discord, it says how many pieces of Jeremiah belong in Iowa. And right now, I think it's split down the middle, and you really wish you'd have rocked the black and gold. Big
oh, family. Never, dude. You're letting never, it never, ever. I tell my son every night before he goes to bed, you can go wherever you want, son, as long as it's not Iowa.
Oh, that's tough.
But seriously, I mean, all of your losses are one possession games, except what Ohio State was a 9-point game.
Yeah. I mean,
against some really good teams. You know, Michigan was a 3-point game. I'm looking at Michigan State was a 3-point overtime game. Oklahoma was a one touchdown game. What has it been like for like Husker fans and people close to the program to like know like you're very far away from where you want to be, but at the same time, you're really not that far.
Yeah.
Is that what gets Scott Frost the next year?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, not often you can look at a football game. And again, we've all been part of losses where a guy misses a kick or a guy punts the ball somewhere that he's not supposed to, or a guy drops the ball. And it's always the company line, right? It's not that one play that cost us this game. There's a million. For Nebraska, it really is like one play every single game. Like it really is. I mean, you look at Michigan State, that's the one game I truly believe like we had won. Like every other game we've been in, right? But I thought Michigan State, we had won. And then our backup punter, we call a punt right, and just rockets one left. And the dude just runs up the sideline and scores. And I mean, we held Kenneth Walker to 47 yards rushing in that game. Probably a win the Heisman because no one else is good enough this year. And you look at that, and so for Nebraska fans, yeah, it seems like we're inches away, but a million miles away at the same time. And I think that selfishly, there was a part of me that was ready for a coaching change. I think that there was like, okay, definition of insanity, right? Same thing over and over again. But then I looked for the greater good of the program, And I'm like, is it really a good idea to burn everything down and start all over again when we do feel like we're this close? And I think that that went into a lot of consideration with Trev Alberts of why he brought Scott Frost back. And I mean, and you look at the culture. I know you guys say culture.
Think about this, man, right? You just, everything you just said, and then you said the word culture. People have wanted Coach Ferentz and Brian, and you know, they've wanted their heads before currently, like it's an ongoing thing over the past probably decade that KF is definitely not universally liked, and a lot of people want to see him gone. And like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, people think that a coach can just come in and flip a culture. Like, they really do. And especially in today's age of college football with the transfer portal and how soft these kids are. Like,
that's what I wanted to ask. There's two things I wanted to ask you about. Actually, three. One was the CFP and the rankings that just came out earlier tonight. Two was the transfer portal. And three was NIL stuff. But talk to me about the transfer portal and your ideas.
I hate it, dude. I really do. And I think it's hysterical.
It's breeding quitters, isn't it?
Yeah, it's breeding quitters. And it's also, it's hurting kids. Yeah. Like, kids that are getting their school paid for at a Division I football team are so willing to be like, I'm not playing as a freshman, I'm out. And they enter this transfer pool that's the most saturated thing on earth. And you're sitting there at home going, oh shit, I don't have a place to play.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the transfer portal, you get the top 50 guys, right? The Wandale Robinsons that left and went to Kentucky are absolutely lighting it up. The Kenneth Walkers that go to Michigan State, that defensive end from Georgia that goes to Florida State is going to be a top 10 pick, right? Those guys are, yeah, you're going to get some of those, but majority of the transfer portal is a bunch of guys that were developmental guys that felt like they should have been entitled to something.
Right. And especially it's, you know, guys posting their practice clips because they don't have any game film.
They don't have game film.
Like, isn't that embarrassing?
Why should a team take a chance on you right now?
Look at me run this 7-on-7 route against the other threes of the whatever program I'm at. Like, it's so dumb. I hate the transfer portal, but I also think it's hysterical if you take even a further step back. Like, when someone transfers out of your program, everyone's like, good riddance, F that guy. Nobody liked him anyways. But then when your team signs a transfer, everyone's like, yes, look at this guy that we just got. Like, he's amazing. Like, it's the definition of one man's trash, another man's treasure. Every school does it. And I think it's hilarious. But all in all, I hate the transfer portal.
Yeah. You find a lot of guys who are, in my opinion, a Big Ten talent, but it's not going to happen until year four.
Right.
They're going to redshirt and then they're going to get year four and five. They're going to maybe turn into something and you have to give it that much, but they don't have in today's world, these kids, I know, and it ages us and you're a little bit older than us, Jeremiah, but we're now 27. These kids are 10 years younger than us who are making these decisions. And they think for some reason, they think, man, if I'm not on the field year two, I'm out. Like, and it does. And what happens is you got Big Ten players who now go down, they're posting their practice film and they find themselves at a MAC school.
Yeah. Right? They're playing on Tuesday nights.
Right. And then they may play, but you know, they have film that's not really like, is the NFL going to take a chance on this MAC guy versus if you would have been a 2-year starter at a Big Ten program? It's just like, I don't know.
I mean, and the development piece, like, are you going to be developed as well at Western Michigan as you would at Penn State, Iowa, Nebraska, wherever, right? I mean, you talk about facilities and coaches.
Likely not.
And, you're not. It's simple economics, right? The best coaches, the best development staff are at the bigger schools.
Speaking of the transfer portal, how's Oliver Martin doing?
He was our leading receiver against Illinois, and then he got hurt, and he hasn't really done much. Speaking of, dude, the most bizarre shit happened to me yesterday. I'm in my office working. My phone rings. It's some number from Iowa. And I answer it, hello. And he's like, hi, this is so-and-so. You don't know me, but I just had a question. I know you're a commentator. Like, why isn't Oliver Martin playing? And like, I was looking at my phone. I was like, how the hell do you have my phone number?
It was your cell?
Yes, dude, my cell phone. And this random dude from Iowa is calling me to ask me why Oliver Martin isn't playing.
That was like, my dad.
I don't know who it was. It really
no,
because it might have, dude. He's like, because from what I heard, he's got like one of the best broad jumps and vertical jumps on the team, and I just don't understand why. And I'm sitting here in my office, like staring, like what the fuck is actually happening right now? Like, is this Iowa guy? And then like he did the classic like old man thing where he said goodbye, but then forgot to hang up the phone. And so then I hear him talking. He's like, yeah, I called one of the Husker guys. He said it's because he's hurt and he hasn't got back in the game. I was like, what the fuck is going on over there, dude?
That's wild.
Like, it was insane. But yeah, Oliver Martin was a good weapon for us till he got hurt. And now he just catches punts because apparently no one on our team can catch punts.
This is an
insane story.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was staring at my phone and it was some number from, where was it? Yeah, Hennifer Shirley from Iowa City gave me an old phone call at 1 o'clock last afternoon. Okay. So shout out Hennifer.
The wild thing about Oliver Martin is he might be the only player to score a touchdown on three different Big Ten teams.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's absolutely. But then it's like he shows so much promise, and then it's just like it just doesn't pan out. It's been the exact same story at all three places. It's just weird.
Imagine that being your stat. You'd just be like, yeah. Scored a touchdown on three different teams. They're like, why were you on three different teams?
It's like, how many times did you have to request your transcript, bro?
When you're going to the NFL, they're like, all right, name me your worst game and your best game, and it's off two different teams. And they're like, no, from the same team.
Yeah.
Okay.
What has the problems been on special teams for the Huskers?
Do you guys have a special teams coordinator? Like, an actual full-time special teams coordinator.
And he's elite, and our special teams are elite.
I think we don't. We have an outside linebackers coach who I'm pretty sure does special teams as a hobby.
Okay.
And so that's problem number one. Problem number two is I can honestly, and Scott actually said this after, I believe it was the Ohio State game, like, it's not as much the special teams as much as the specialists. And
He said it.
But
bang, Coop, bang, 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 bang.
I'm just saying,
Connor Culp has been bad.
He's been bad. I just told you about our punting situation, right? We have this dude, Will Pristup, who he'll bomb a 60 yarder and then all of a sudden he'll shank a 13 yarder.
Yeah, we've had a few of those.
Right. But I mean, those are as good as turnovers. And so many people just focus on offense, defense, offense. It's like, there's a reason it's called the third phase of the game. Like, special teams is so important. And we've just been, it's been one of those years where, like, we had Cam Taylor-Britt, who was going to be a playmaker. He catches at the first game of the year, he catches a ball in the two and tries to shot put it forward and then gets a safety. Like, and that kind of set the tone for our whole special teams. And then we have a kicker.
We had a play like that in our playing days.
I mean, and then we have a guy who our kickoff guy has been nails, touchbacks, just nailing them all year. And then the dude mishits one on the opening kickoff against Wisconsin and they house call it. Like, it's just been one of those years where specialist wise, we're just really struggling. And I mean, we were spoiled for a long time in having Alex Henry and Brett Maher, Sam Foltz, like all these good specialists. And then we have Connor Culp, Big Ten kicker of the year last year. But I think he falls into the same category of there was no pressure last year. You're kicking balls into empty stadiums, nothing but the pipes, and no one's yelling.
There's no pressure this year. You got no wins.
Shut up.
That's actually a good point, Jeremiah. I think that gap of 2020, no fans, you know, the whole rundown versus now this year, it's for real. For specialists, I feel like that was even more heightened because when I was in practice and it was just, you know, punt period.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I didn't have a care in the world, and the snaps were always just so clean and crisp. I didn't even have to think about it. And you go out in the game, and you're like, oh shit, this matters,
right?
And I'm sure 2020 felt a little bit like practice for specialists, especially, you know, you're kicking into there's nothing. They're not waving the foam fingers behind the post. So, yeah, man, it's been really bad. And it's funny, all the way through our career, our senior year. We did not have a dedicated special teams only coordinator. Well,
yeah, because they changed the rule where you could add another coach to your staff. Yeah. Now, did Nebraska have like an inside backers coach and then add an outside backers coach?
Yeah, so we run that 3-4. And so we had an outside backers and then a linebackers. So like Barrett Rude is our linebackers coach. And then Dawson was our outside linebackers coach. Gotcha. And so I think that's why he kind of shouldered. And I do think I think we were going to hire a special teams coordinator. Actually, I pray to God at night that we hire a special teams coordinator because it's killing us. I mean, I point back to, like I said earlier, you can point to one to five plays a game. And two of those are usually on special teams, whether it's a missed kick, a missed extra point or a bad punt or a kickoff return or one of those things that we just, that third phase of the game has been non-existent for Nebraska. And that's a huge reason why we've only won three games.
People really underestimate how well you just look at Iowa. It's a great contrast.
Yeah.
Torrey Taylor has 67 punts this year. It's sixth in the country, right? You would think the correlation there would be, oh shit, they're often like, they're not scoring many points correlation. They're probably not winning many games, but here we are 16th in the CFP 2 hours ago. And we're 9-2 because the way our special teams change the game are we're literally giving, we're basically taking care of 100 yards for our offense per game. Right. And we broke that down on
the hidden yardage,
right?
Right. Like it's the hidden yardage that the casual fan doesn't really understand, but anyone who's played football understands you make an offense that has to go 85 or 80 every single time. The statistics of them shooting themselves in the foot is so much higher than if they only have to go 50.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, when we played
side, you have a offense that struggles at time, you get them a short field, makes it a hell of a lot easier.
And then they get in a rhythm and then things happen. I mean, special teams are taken for granted at every single level.
When we
college, high school, all of it.
Yeah. When we played Maryland and Penn State in back-to-back weeks, our offense was damn near average start position midfield. It was nuts. It's been great for us. The reason that I thought even at the minus four line originally with Adrian that Iowa still probably was going to pull this game out was three things. One, special teams is huge. Iowa's is great. Nebraska's not so much. Two, Nebraska just doesn't know how to win football games, right? Like it's just that one possession, that one play. It's something they don't have versus like an Oklahoma team who's been in a lot of games that this year, but they just have that. They've figured out a way to win all those games. And then three, like recent history, it's just something between this rivalry. The Hawks have just had it, right? Now with Smothers, you know, if Adrian's throwing a bunch of picks to our defense, who leads the country in interceptions,
yep.
Who knows what the second string is doing? Our run defense is pretty goddamn good. This could be a 10-7 game and the Hawks win. Because again,
I completely agree.
You know,
I completely agree.
41 is the line, really? Or the, for the, I mean, it's
under
by a million. And I think, I think the Hawks, oh shit, we got to do Ward's winners, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh my goodness. Before we get to Ward's winners, which is soon to be a sponsored segment.
Let's go.
Right.
Oopsies.
Yeah. Oops. by the way, I got Come and Go, the company of Come and Go.
I saw that.
Yeah. We're going to legit, me and Keith Duncan are going to come out with our own Duncan Kluver special teams players, you know, like returner, kicker, punter, snapper of the year.
With that better come with a Wash Up Walk-Ons Come and Go sponsorship or your dog shit for taking that all for yourself. Fuck you, and I will beat the shit out of you.
That is that's an independent contractor, Tyler Kluver, on the and yeah, I'm sorry, the Come and Go does not have a direct line to the Wash Up Walk-Ons bank account. No, but they legit are going to sponsor that.
That's awesome.
I was DMing them today, and God, those Ray Guy and the Lou Groza awards are just so bad. They're so bad. And I could go for another hour about that. Before we get into some betting talk and then we leave you to be a father, I guess you already put the
I put him bed. Down. That's why we're recording late. I put him
yeah.
down.
Yeah. And how is being a father? Let's not skip over
it's
that.
It's awesome, dude. It's so good. So since I was last with you guys, I have another daughter. So I have an 8-month-old daughter and a 2.5-year-old wild man. It's super fun, dude. I love everything about it. I mean, getting to share my first deer, my buck kill with my son last week was one of the coolest experiences of my life. I mean, bringing him out to the truck and he was picking up the deer and holding the deer. I mean, that was cool. I mean, being a dad's the coolest thing ever, man.
Biggest thing you've learned as a parent now that you have two from in this last year since the last time you were on the podcast?
Sleep's overrated. You just don't. I mean, your first one, you're like, man, I need sleep. The second one, you're like, I could do this for the next 18 years, I guess. Like, you get a little bit more defeated as a person.
Well, the nice thing is at some point, they'll, you know, like, I don't know what that age is. Is it 7 or 8? I mean, it's not going to be an 18-year thing. They're going to sleep.
No. Eventually. Yeah. But then as they get older, then you worry about what kind of idiot things they're doing that you did when you were 15. Like, I have so much more respect for my father now that I'm a dad. Cause like, you remember your dad always be like, get home safe. Like, dad, I'm fine. Like, dad,
can you imagine
fine.
Being my parents?
No, dude. I mean, absolutely.
Jeremiah, right now we've come to the point where you rate Drake's appearance.
On a scale of what?
One to
one
trash.
To home.
Wonder this is the greatest mullet you've seen with your eyes.
I mean, one to homeless. You're flirting with the homeless line. You're flirting with the tin cup on the side of the road here pretty soon, asking for pennies.
One to I will steal every woman over the age of 40 that exists in America right now.
Is that before or after you have a full conversation with them?
Oh my God.
Listen, man, I have a podcast. I don't have to talk.
Okay, last thing. NIL rules changed. Yeah. Nebraska-related NIL opportunities / your personal thoughts on the guys or girls, honestly, the best athletes to sponsor in Nebraska right now are Lawrence Diverns and Lexi Sun and Krause.
100%.
And I can name all of them because I'm a Nebraska volleyball fan. So it's it is what it is. But
I like it. I like NIL.
I do. We do too.
Yeah, makes I sense. Think it's capitalism I think at work. 100%. The one thing I do worry a tad about is we talked about the ego of the kids already. Like, this is just going to make it even worse. I mean, when you're a recruit now in 2-3 years, you're not going to be asking, well, what's the depth chart look like or what's the playing time look like? You're going to be like, hey, show me your running backs earning reports for last year. Yeah. Like, and that's going to hurt the sport.
18-year-old kids are going to be asking for 21-year-old kids tax returns.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's going to detriment to the sport, and not just football, but a lot of, I mean, every sport.
And now, comment on this, Jeremiah, what you think about underperforming on the field and then selling your brand off of it.
I think people get it backwards. Guys get, I mean, this is, again, I'm doing the agency thing too. I'm working as an agent. I'm fully certified through the NFL now.
Really?
Like, I am. And so, like, I work with guys coming out of college into the NFL, and so many of these guys that I talk to are like, well, what are you going to do for my brand? It's like, listen, dude, if you don't play in the NFL is way different than college. No one gives a shit how cool your website is. Like, no one cares what your logo is if you last a total of 8 months in the NFL. And that's going to bleed from NIL over into the NFL. And it's going to really hurt a lot of guys. But the big thing too is I'm excited to make money, but this is the Wild West right now. Like, it's just no rules, and there's got to get some regulation put in this. And I don't know how or how it even happens, but I mean, that guy, what the guy did at BYU, where he was like, everyone gets $600. It's like, that's you're opening Pandora's box with people just handing money to kids. I mean, legally now, like, the SEC's done it forever. I mean,
some car dealership in Oklahoma handed Spencer Rattler a Challenger SRT and a freaking like F-250 or whatever they got.
Yeah.
I wonder if he asked for it back.
Yeah. Hey, you're not playing anymore. Can you go ahead and return those keys?
Hey, where it is, as long as, no, he just called him and he said, you know, I want you to drive over to Caleb Williams' house.
Yeah.
I just want you to leave it in his driveway.
I left you a beater. There's a Chevy Malibu there for you to pick up and take home.
Yeah. My 2008 Honda Accord is on the
Uber
curb.
To pick you up and bring you home.
Send it a receipt. We'll reimburse you.
There's an Uber waiting. Caleb walks out. He's like, Spence, thanks, bro. Got a new truck. Sick.
But I mean, it's going to breed resentment in the locker room. It is. And not in the, I mean, that's life, right? Life ain't fair. So, I mean, you're learning lessons, but you talk about transfer portal and it all is connected. It all is connected.
So question for you. You played in the NFL for a while.
Yep.
Once money is involved, is it pretty much all about money?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I played in the NFL, I love football. Don't get me wrong. It gave me so much, but like, you don't put yourself through the wear and tear if you're not getting compensated for it. And so, I mean, you bring that now into the college game, where I've always been a college football guy over an NFL guy. Like, I would much rather set my ass on the couch all day on Saturday and watch nonstop college football than what I do on Sunday and watch the NFL. Now, the product is way more polished, right? But
yeah,
there's just something about the emotion and the love of your school and all that you play for in college that I think is going to be kind of watered down now.
There's something about that unpolishedness.
Right. I love it. I think it's amazing.
Tell me what you think about this. This is my idea, right? NIL will expose or reveal or just heighten what a person's already about, right? So I believe, Tyler Kluber, this isn't a walk-ons thing, and it may not even be correct. I personally believe that now a coach that is the best at creating a culture and finding good people is now the ultimate important thing, because if you get a guy who can get the right people in there, and
historically we're biased here because that's sort of what KF has built his program on.
Right.
Good people, they can play football, but hey, we'll develop them for 4 years and then they'll be at the level, right? I think if you can get people in there that are going to sort of wade those waters of, hey, I'm not worried about money. I'm not worried about this. It'll come. They kind of have their head set on straight for, I know if I play well, that the deals will be there. I think that becomes ultra important.
You're 100% right. The problem with that is I think quality coaches are just going to jump ship to the NFL and be like, I don't want to deal with this shit anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I mean, what coach is going to want to go on the road and talk about NIL over and over and over again instead of talking about football?
I know Coach Ferentz doesn't. And if this was 10 years ago that this happened, it might have shortened KF's career just right. because of the way he coaches.
And I mean, you're going to see a whole wave of kind of old head, call it older coaches that just bounce because this is going to be way too much for them to want to deal with. You're dealing now with 18-year-olds that are making 200K a year. Like you know what I mean? Like the headache that comes with of off the field nonsense and all that stuff is just going to get just through the roof issues. And that's where I talk about the regulation piece and really the education piece.
Yeah.
Like the NCAA is not going to throw any money at it because they're not getting any piece of it. So they're not going to help educate kids about this stuff. They're just going to kind of let it happen. And it's going to cause more issues in the next 5 years than I think the NFL or the NCAA is ready for.
It opens up a schemey sort of side business too, because the immediate thing that I think of now that I'm in the business world is like, wait a second, should the washed up walk-ons create a little NIL course and start trying to go around to colleges and like, you know, like not really, I don't want to go do that, but there will be people
pick your stocks for you.
Right. Like there will be people who are like, hey, I played Division I football. I know the game, right? And now I'm out in the business world. I know how to do taxes. I know all this stuff. They're going to come in and tell these kids, hey, here's what you got to do. Here's what, you know, all these things. And they're going to like, but I get like 10% or I get like, you know, they're going to try and broker deals
Here's what you should do. And here's my idea on NIL. You need to find a way to get with the university, get with the head coach and create your own company. And what you do is you essentially say, hey, I'm going to have Nebraska sign a group licensing agreement for their football team. And then I'm going to go and sell that to every brand in Iowa City or Lincoln or whatever it is. And then they're going to give me, so call it Tractor Supply. You guys got Tractor Supply out
Hell
there?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So say Tractor Supply goes, I want to have Hawkeye players that represent. I'm going to give you 50 grand and you then divvy it up to whoever is worthy of posting whatever it is or appearances or whatever. And we now have a contract between our company, the university and Tractor Supply.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen. These companies are going to pop up all over the place that sign these group licensing agreements with like the NFL does, right? The NFL has, if you use more than 6 players in a commercial for the NFL, you have to pay every player in the NFL. And so that's what's going to happen with colleges is you're going to have these companies that say, hey, I have all this money from all these brands or all these companies that want to use the N, right? Right here, the N, because you can't use it without it. We'll pay a certain amount, but again, we'll keep a percentage. And that's how this game's going to get played in every city that has a big college football in America.
Well, I got a proposition for you, Searles. Drake and I have a lot of time. and I think we could maybe sell Kevin on it. Let's just do it. You know,
do it. Why wouldn't you? You guys are former players.
You're in this with us.
Oh, I'm in it with you.
Yeah, you're in it. And we're going to go grab a few more and we're just going to create like a little 12, 15 person company. And we're just going to run the NCAA.
Dude, you could do it. That's the thing. Like, talk about pitching that to a head coach or an AD that's like, hey, I'll take care of all your players' NIL deals.
Well, that's the thing is like it almost gives them peace of mind. You think if we went back to Coach Ferentz right now and said, hey, all these other guys, fuck them. Me, Kevin, and Drake, we're going to take care of the guys.
Yeah. Can Drake just be like a background player?
Okay. Me and Kevin are going to
be a you and me will go guard be with guy. Can I just guard the money or something? Can I just.
But think about it. That it makes perfect sense. Like, hey, we're former players. We have ties to the university. We'll take care of all the contracts. We'll take care of all the taxes. We'll handle all that shit. All players have to do is we'll push them content. We'll push them. Hey, show up at this appearance for $500. We'll pay them. We'll take care of all the rest of it. It makes a lot of sense.
I know. Not only that, but I mean, at least for now, we're only 4 or 5 years out. Like, we understand Instagram posts. We understand.
Right. You know, you get the metrics, right?
I can learn TikTok if I have to. Drake told me to get off TikTok this morning, but
TikTok's trash.
Yeah. Attention. China. Where are the eyes? You know, that's where the dollars are.
Now, the agent thing, well, that wouldn't qualify you as an agent, right? Because I believe the NCAA still doesn't let you hire an agent.
False. The actual NFLPA sent out a memo to us saying that you are allowed to sign college players strictly to NIL deals. But let's not pretend that's not what this is. You get your hooks and it's going to change my world drastically.
Wow.
Because right. Now an agent's going to go find what's his name from Wisconsin, the freshman, right?
Oh, yeah. Malusi?
No, the running back, the 17-year-old freaking bull.
Oh, Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen, right? Some agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is going to call Braylon Allen this year and go, hey, I'm going to sign you. I'm going to handle all your NIL deals. You don't have to sign with me for the NFL when the time comes, but I'm going to take care of all this. Then he's going to call Tractor Supply and say, hey, you want to work with Braylon Allen? And the guy, sure, we'll give him 10 grand. And then Drew Rosenhaus is going to cut a check to Braylon Allen for 50 grand and say, look at what I did for you. Look at how great I did. And it's over.
Oh,
that's what's, dude, I'm telling you, like the minute I got that memo from the NFLPA, I was like, this is going to be a problem. Like, you're now allowing agents to influence freshmen, sophomores, like before they even know what's going on.
Idiots, man. You know that you don't know shit about
you.
You know nothing.
You know nothing. And you're going to sign a contract with an agent that they're going to have legalese in there. They're going to have all kinds of shit. That's like, if you fire us, you owe us XYZ and nothing. You can't sign an SRA. You can't sign a representative agreement for the NFL, but you might as well.
Yeah,
like you might as well. Like, what are you gonna do? Have this guy handle your NIL for 3 years, and then you're gonna go to the NFL and sign with someone else?
All right, now I have another business idea. Because, but this one's gonna take 10 or 20 years.
All right, I'm in.
Which is good because we're gonna have to get good at creating long story content video. Okay. There's gonna be a shitload of 5-star, 4-star players who get sold on all these NIL deals. Their careers never work out, or they're like on a trajectory and then they just hit rock bottom because they make some schemey, dumb decisions. And then we make a documentary on all these 5-stars who end up in the shitter, and we like go to the homeless shelter that they're at. And we're like, so you were a 5-star running back, all the offers in the world, and now you're living off of beans every day. What happened?
Netflix would buy it.
Yeah.
ESPN 30 for 30.
There it is. But yeah, I mean, it's a wild world, dude. The agent world is crazy. It's insane. I love it. It's super fun. I mean, I really enjoy what
so
I do.
So do you represent NFL guys right now?
I scheduled to take the test in 2020.
Oh, okay.
But because of COVID, they just completely pushed it to 21. So I took the test in August, I passed the test, fully certified. So I'll be able to sign my first class this year.
Mm. I'm a free agent, and the Packers need a long snapper right now. So I'll be your first guy.
I got you, buddy. I got you. I got some guys that are committed already, which has been really fun. But
yeah, that's cool.
It's a wild world. Yeah, I learn. No, you learn stuff every day.
It's super competitive. It's like what?
There's three agents to every one NFL player.
Wow.
Right.
That's wild.
And the NFL just milks it for all it's worth. The $2,500 non-refundable deposit just to take the test. It was a 38% pass rate for the test. Jeez. And if you fail it, you can take it again the next year. But if you don't, then you have to wait a full year before you can take it again. So 2 years really. And so, I mean, yeah, the agent world is completely saturated, but the difference is if you don't sign a guy on an active roster for 3 years, you lose your certification.
Oof.
And so it's crazy. And I mean, we could do a whole pod on the agent world and what it entails.
We need to do an off-season pod this year.
We'll table that discussion.
Yeah. We'll table that because, I mean, I'll dive down and I'll have my first year. I mean, I'm already scheduled. I'm going to Vegas for the Shrine Bowl. I'll be in L.A. for the NFLPA Bowl, Mobile for the Senior Bowl.
Let's go.
College Gridiron Showcases in Dallas. You got the Hula Bowl in Orlando. So, I mean, I'll be on the road quite a bit here over the next 8 weeks.
That is okay. We're definitely bringing you on in like February or March to talk about some off-season stuff and maybe some some Husker hope in the off-season.
Husker hope, baby. It's what we live on here.
Maybe you should retitle your show that. Let's anything else from you two, Kevin Drake, that you want to get out of Searles before we go to everybody's favorite segment?
I mean, yeah, just, you know, what are you looking to see on the game on Friday, I guess? You know, anything you haven't kind of talked about already?
You know, the biggest thing is the boys are going to show up and fight. I mean, I was worried a little bit about what we were going to do when we showed up against Wisconsin, right? You come off a bye week firing four coaches. What's the emotion? I mean, I think it's senior day. I have no doubt that the boys are going to show up and fight. I just don't know if we'll be able to keep up on offense. And I know I'm not talking about the high-powered Ohio State. I'm talking about your guys', but your guys' defense is extremely good. I mean, and what I love about your defense is you don't really have, like, a dude. Like, you don't have an A.J. Epinesa. You don't have one of those guys that's just a game wrecker. Like, you just got 11 dudes that play balls out all the time. And that's more dangerous than when you have a guy that has one or two star powers. I really believe that's what Nebraska's defense is. We don't have a dude. We have a lot of guys that play really hard. And so I'm looking for a fun game. I'd like to see us maybe do something kind of crazy on offense, show up and run the triple option the entire game or something stupid, try and find a way to keep you off balance. But, I mean, it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I really don't. I don't think you guys are capable of blowouts unless we turn the ball over five freaking times.
Well, one time in this year, and it was seven turnovers, but yeah.
Yeah, seven turnovers, so that helps. But, I mean, I'm excited for the game. I love watching the rivalry, even though it hasn't been much of one. I mean, it builds, right? It builds every year. Even with you guys kicking our ass every year, it builds. It builds.
It builds because eventually.
Right. It's building to a point that one of these years we will win, and then it's just immediately going to be a powder keg.
All of Nebraska is going to orgasm at the same 100%. Time.
100%. And I did think that we had a chance this year before Adrian got hurt. I really did.
I think I did too. I
mean, it's still 1.5 point spread, so it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Well, yeah, but no one's got to see Logan Smothers practice like I have. So he's young.
Drake, anything else from you?
Insider information says Hawks 1.5 in the under.
Well, let's just roll the clip, huh? Kevin.
All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get
everybody's favorite Ward's winner segment. Last week was not as good as we would have liked, but we're back. This is where, Jeremiah, if you're unfamiliar, we just pick some games.
Love it.
And
yeah, any picks for us?
Who's playing against Northwestern?
Let me tell you,
it's Illinois.
Yeah,
I would pick them because Northwestern is terrible.
We've got
Illinois -6.5 at home.
I'd take that. They've been playing better.
I would take that too, honestly.
I would take that. I mean, Illinois has played better. Northwestern can't get out of their own way, and they're terrible.
Yeah.
We beat them by like 50, dude.
Well, my lock of the week is Wisconsin moneyline. And that's just what it is.
And that lock of the week is also Wisconsin moneyline.
And Drake, what is your lock of the week? He's going to say the wrong answer too.
Now, my lock of the week is going to be, Wisconsin moneyline.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there we go.
See, now, Jeremiah, that's what we call reverse psychology.
Mm.
Because we know that Wisconsin listens to this podcast. And
the pod consensus pick is 0-2 so far.
0-2 so far in the last couple weeks. Last week, it was Wisconsin -9. Obviously, Nebraska ruined that. So we just decided, you know what, screw it. Wisconsin moneyline, we need it to continue to not hit so that Iowa can have a chance.
You better hope Braylon Allen misses the flight.
Well, we sent some guys in, and
there he goes.
There's some undercover stuff going on there. Kevin, hit us with your picks, and then I'm going to find mine while you do that.
Yeah, so I like the Civil War this weekend. Oregon State +7 versus Oregon. Oregon just got exposed last week versus Utah. Oregon State's been playing some good football lately. I like them to keep it close. I don't know if the Beavers get the win, but I like them keeping it close versus the Ducks. I love BYU -7 at USC. I think USC is just throwing in the towel for the year. Give me the Mormons to cover the touchdown. Obviously, we got the Wisconsin money line, Bucky the Badger over the Gophers.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love that under in the Iowa-Nebraska game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a juicy line.
Yeah. So If you're going to make me pick a different one, give me Illinois minus 6.5.
Love okay. it. All right. Good. Drake, you got picks?
Yeah. Okay. I want the Chargers minus 2.5 at the Broncos. I want the Packers pick them against the Rams coming to Lambeau. And I want the Niners minus 3 at home against the Vikings.
Okay. There's Drake's. I'm going with the game. The game that Ohio State just dominates every year. And Michigan, I think they've won twice since like 2001. Dude, give me Ohio State. The way they play football right now on offense, it's dumb because they wouldn't have a chance against an NFL team. But for the tongue-in-cheek, it's like, I think they could beat the Falcons. Yeah. Jets. They could totally beat New York. No, they couldn't.
Could they beat Urban Meyer's current team?
No.
Ooh, there's a twist in that storyline there. I do think that they can beat the Michigan Wolverines by 8. So I'm taking Ohio State minus 8. I'm going to take, obviously Wisconsin is a lock, money line lock. I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Lock of the century.
Guys. Lock of the century. I'm going to take Oklahoma plus 4 at Oklahoma State. We talked about how they've played in close games and we knew that they were going to lose one somewhere along the way. But I believe in this concept of teams knowing how to win football games or just not knowing how to win football games. I think Oklahoma, maybe they don't win, but I think it's closer than 4 points. And then my last pick of the day is going to be Penn State, Michigan State over 52. Penn State, Michigan State over 52. Michigan State got embarrassed and they're going to try and come out and like, hey, we can still score points. And I think Penn State can do enough to help them and they'll scurry their way to over 52 combined. And that's all three of us. And Jeremiah, your pick of the week is clearly Wisconsin moneyline, right?
Yeah, we'll go Wisconsin moneyline.
Okay.
Hey.
I'll take the Iowa Nebraska under.
And then you also want Iowa Stop it. Minus
nope,
one
that's
and
not
nine.
Happening.
I sprinkle a little Iowa moneyline in there.
Good try. You tried.
It's that sprinkle on the skirl on the swirl scoop of the week or whatever it's
called. Yeah, sideline scoop of the week, dude. Relax.
Thank you so much, Searles, for joining us again.
I love it, dude. 3 years running now.
It's going to be every year.
We're going for many, many years.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And I don't think we have to pump everything that you're doing. You're an agent. They can find you at what? Jeremiah Searles on Twitter.
Searles71_HSKR on Twitter. And then JSearles71 on Instagram.
Everybody go follow because you've mentioned how you love him on the pod. You'll probably enjoy him on social media as well. So
we have a good time.
Go check him out. That is 80 minutes.
Got to shout out my friend Tiff.
Yes.
Tiff, thank you for having your daughter watch my kiddos, but also being a loyal part of the Washed Up Walk On Army. I know it's one of your favorite podcasts. So got to shout you out there.
Yeah. I mean, the army runs deep around it these does. Parts.
She's behind enemy lines, man. She lives here in Lincoln. I'm sure she's rocking her black and yellow piss color, whatever it is.
Searles, wow. It's black and gold and it's just beautiful.
And it's been pissing all over you, idiots.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
Fun fact to end the podcast. As far as a singular city goes, we've got Des Moines. And then our second biggest listenership is Omaha, Nebraska.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, that's Council Tucky. We don't count them. That's Council Boys. That's for sure Council Tucky. We don't claim them. The only good thing about them is the boats. We can go down there and gamble.
True.
What about the World Series?
That's in Omaha. Now, don't get that is Omaha. Council Bluffs is
Hoover said Omaha.
Omaha is there. It's Omaha.
It's half and half.
They're it bleeds into each other.
Yeah.
The World Series is on the Omaha, the Nebraska.
Yeah, it's on the good side. You can get the clean air at the World Series. You cross the line, it just smells like pig shit.
Guy, your football team at university is pig shit. your fake sellout. Take your fake sellout and go sniff.
Hey, I have been a full component that thing needs to end. I have been a full component that it's been a great run.
I actually think that if you guys would just give that up, you'd start winning games.
Well, maybe we'll sacrifice it for the sake of Scott Frost and the boys.
At this point, you guys need a Mayan sacrifice to start winning games over there in Lincoln.
Someone said we need to take Frank Solich and sacrifice him at the 50 yard.
And that's why the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast is the best on fucking earth, because we can talk about sacrificing people for college football wins and no one can tell us we can't. Episode 270 with the man, Jeremiah Searles. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back to recap the game, a clear Hawkeye victory. And probably if the betting gods do this correctly, we'll probably be talking about going to the Big Ten championship, because things are just going to work out, baby.
So. Yeah, congratulations. You guys can go get boat raced by Ohio State.
And we're going to have a fun time doing it, motherfucker. Let's go.
And we're going to send you the Snapchat from Indianapolis inside Lucas Oil.
Please do.
All right.
And it'll be pregame and we'll be happy.
Yeah. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.